America was founded mostly by Christians seeking religious freedom. Religious freedom was so important to the founding fathers that they listed it as the first liberty in the First Amendment. Well, fast forward to today, and because of a misunderstanding of the Constitution, we do see many threats against religious liberty. One of the groups working hard on behalf of religious freedom is First Liberty Institute out of Plano, Texas, in the Dallas area. They have a new case out of Michigan, and we're going to talk about that today with Ryan Gardner, who is a senior counsel with First Liberty. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Ryan, we welcome you to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Okay, so tell us about what's going on in the, let's see, the Eastern District of Michigan. There's a church called the Tarrington Church. What is happening with that? And take your time to give us the historical background and so forth.
Absolutely. So what this case involves at its core, it is a church that is caught in what I can only describe as a bureaucratic purgatory that is preventing people from gathering to engage in religious activities on a property. Something very important to note about this property, it has been used as a church for 60 years. And in fact, there's a deed restriction on this piece of property basically saying that it can only be used as a church. That was the intent from the moment that this building was constructed. And for a long time at this property, there was a congregation that met there, gathered there for every kind of religious activity you can think of, religious worship, weddings, funerals, all kinds of stuff. But as often happens over the years, this congregation began to dwindle in numbers. And eventually, they came down to the point where the congregation closed its doors, and then the property went up for sale. That's where my client, the Tarrington Church, came in, and they were a long-time ministry in the same area that always had a dream of having a brick-and-mortar place to start their own church and to do their own ministry activities. So to them, it seemed like a perfect fit to get this property. Well, they get it, and that's when they start encountering issues with the local township. You would think that going from one owner to another with a religious use like this would be a very easy process. But here we are 2 years after the church bought the property, and they still don't have all the approvals necessary just to gather and do basic things like engage in religious worship, host weddings and Bible studies and any other number of events. And you have this township that is using every lever of power that it has to create obstacles. They're saying that you need to get proper building permit approval. Client is willing to do so, but the township isn't willing to give them the permits that they say that they need. Same thing, they say you need a certificate of occupancy under our fire code. Again, the client says, please come inspect my property, and then we can get that. They refuse to come out and do inspections. And from a zoning code perspective, they say that you need special permission from us to be a church, even though this property has been a church for 60 years. And in the zoning world, what you have a lot of times is something called grandfathering, where if a use has been longstanding, you're allowed to continue that use. Well, here they're saying, well, church, if you want to be grandfathered in, then you're going to be grandfathered in with whatever limitations we feel like placing upon you. And the draconian limitations placed here are really shocking in many ways. I mean, they're basically saying we define your grandfather use as you about 60 people gathering for religious worship. So basically, the lowest number of this longstanding previous congregation in its dwindling days. And they said you can only have, you know, a handful of what we would call community events every year. 4 to 6 of those are allowed. Except we define community events to mean basically anything that is not Sunday morning worship. So weddings, any other variety of activities at all that a church might do, you can only have a handful of those.
This doesn't make sense. Who owns the church?
The church. That's the crazy part. Is the church owns the church, and they should be able to use it as they see fit. And that's true of a lot of property rights, generally speaking, but it's especially true when you have the overlay of protected First Amendment rights. I mean, this is what anybody would consider to be core religious activities, people gathering together to engage in religious worship, prayer, Bible study, and any other type of ministry. And part of the big issue here is you have a township that is attempting to define which activities are religious enough for it to say, okay, those religious activities fall within your religious exercise, and which ones do we think are not? Well, that's not the government's call. The government doesn't get to define how you exercise your own religion. Ironically here, we just had a Supreme Court case on this last term involving a tax exemption issue for Catholic charities. And in a unanimous opinion that I believe was authored by Justice Sotomayor, who many would consider to be more liberal, made clear that no, the government does not get to define which activities are and are not religious enough. And to do so is religious discrimination.
Part of the thing I don't understand, is it in effect the township wants to tolerate the church as long as maybe only 60 people or whatever it was in the previous church, the one that basically went out of business because it dwindled so much, that in effect you can have it like that, but we don't want it to be a vibrant church or something in this particular building. Is that kind of the overall thrust here?
I mean, there definitely seems to be a layer of that here, and something that I haven't told you yet that I think is critical here is the township supervisor who holds all the power in this small town lives a couple doors down. So
they're worried about parking on Sunday morning. Are they worried about parking on Sunday mornings or that kind of thing?
It very well could be things like I mean, parking issues are often used to discriminate against houses of worship and to limit their ability to use certain property or the number of people that can gather at a property. I mean, this property semi-large sanctuary. It can hold, you know, up to 300 to 400 people. I think it was previously rated for 400 people. So this is a decent sized church building. And so it would stand to reason that the church should be able to use the building to its full capacity.
Sure. And is there, you know, sufficient parking? Should as many as 400 people attend? Just curious.
I would have to check exactly how many number of spaces, but the spaces have been there for a long time. So whatever was contemplated for the church originally is still what's there today. And if the client needs to expand the parking, that's not something the client is necessarily opposed to. They're not getting the answers they need, and the township seems to be delaying at every turn in giving them the answers they need, all while telling them you can't meet. You can't force somebody to go through these kinds of bureaucratic processes while simultaneously saying, and during the interim, you do not have any First Amendment rights.
This is
what our founders intended.
Right, right. Oh, this is amazing. How long has this been dragging on, if I could ask, using that word?
It's been going on for about 2 years. I mean, they basically, the client bought the church. They gave it some non-structural renovations type of facelift that you would do for any older building if you're a new church coming in, just to make it look nice, bring it, you know, modernize it in certain ways, but all non-structural kind of stuff. And then they have an open house, basically say, hey, we're here in the community. And how did the township greet them? With a cease and desist letter accusing them of operating an illegal event venue.
Wow. So does the township have any kind of legal leg to stand on? Even if this wasn't even a church, it just sounds like they're, you know, the rights of this organization, and it happens to be a church, which therefore has even more rights, but they're being violated, trampled on in this case, from what I can tell.
Yeah, well, I mean, generally, the state law usually governs these types of zoning issues, building code issues, fire code issues, and they give a lot of discretion to local officials in deciding how to run those things, which usually works pretty well. But the problem is, what happens when that discretion is used in a way to discriminate against a use maybe that they don't want in their community? Or, and I mean, what if it's something that is protected like this, something that receives special protection under the law? It cannot be that you can use that discretion to suppress core First Amendment activity like what's at issue here.
Okay, so when did the congregation contact you all and walk us through that process? Are you at the point where, okay, you've sent out a letter to the township saying, you know, you're wrong here and here's why, bing, 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 or is there a lawsuit here? Or just tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so basically, this is, like I said, this has been going on for a couple of years. We sent out a demand letter, I think it was maybe late October, early November, laying out our serious constitutional concerns with what was going on. And for the next few months, again, we have tried to have an amicable solution that works for everybody. We applied for one of the zoning permits that they said that we needed, and so thought we were going through that process. But what forced us to file this lawsuit was we got a demand from them basically telling us that we can't have any further religious activities at the property until we go through this process that we don't know how long it's going to drag out. So that's at the point, like I said, the client is happy to work with them. And frankly, they could end this whole thing tomorrow if they just showed up and did the things that they say that we need, that they have control over. We could put this all behind us. They hold the keys to the kingdom on this, and there is a path forward, but they have to pull the right levers on their side to work with the client, to work with the church here. I mean,
yeah, I understand. Have they even said anything as to why they, you know, they're dragging their feet? In other words, have they said, well, this building should not be a church, in our opinion, even though it was created as a church? And obviously the original congregation had some problems. I mean, that happens sometimes. I happen to worship in a church, and that church had dwindled down, and then the people who were part of the previous congregation, when they had very, very few, they basically said, we want to remain as a church. We'll hand this building over to another congregation. And they did their due diligence, and that's how the church got that particular building. But it sounds like in this case, this is just crazy. It's like, oh, you can have this church building, but you can't have church in that church building.
Exactly. And part of it, frankly, could just be that this is their bureaucratic process, and that process must be honored above anything else. But that is not the order of our society. The Constitution trumps any local municipal law and any local municipal process, and fundamental constitutional rights must be respected by all. In fact, it is the government's job to safeguard these rights, and by failing to do so here, that's forced us to have to go to court on this whole thing.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's how the First Amendment begins. In this particular case, is it your opinion that this particular district in Michigan is basically violating the free exercise of religion clause?
I think they're violating both sides of it, frankly. I think they're obviously restricting the free exercise of religion here, but there's also Establishment Clause issues here, because, I mean, there was a church that was previously there for a long time that didn't have any of these restrictions that are now being placed upon the Tarrington Church that's there. And you have another church in the same zone of this town that, again, is not facing these kinds of restrictions. And that is the type of religious discrimination that the Supreme Court has said it's odious to our Constitution, and it just simply cannot stand. And the favoritism doesn't just go to that. A great irony here is around the same time that the church purchased the property and began trying to start the process of opening its doors, there was a wedding venue just across town that changed hands. It changed owners. And so they didn't have any of the same bureaucratic red tape and going from one owner to another, and they're able to freely operate and hold weddings whenever they want as a secular venue. Tell me how that makes sense.
No, it doesn't. FirstLiberty.org, 10-second question. We only have 10 seconds left. Is it possible that the church you're representing is a conservative church and what used to be was more liberal?
I have no indication of that, frankly. This is a church that wants to be a blessing to its community and is welcoming to people from all walks of life. They're just looking to advance the gospel.
All right. Very good. FirstLiberty.org. Thank you very much, Ryan. All the best.